In our last three deeper sessions that we've been running at the Lane before the Christmas service, we've been looking at three of the names that have been given to Jesus at or around the time of his birth. And so continuing that theme, I thought we'd look at the name King of the Jews, the title that he'd been given, King of the Jews. And I'm going to read from Matthew's account. It's from the English Standard Version. You'll see it on the screen behind me, but you can follow it in your own Bibles if you want. And I'm reading chapter 2, verses 1 through to 12. In fact, before I do that, I think it would be good to pray, wouldn't it? Father, we thank you that your word is living and active, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would energize your word in our lives this morning, that it would be truth, the truth we need to hear, that it would be the seed, the bread that we need to feed on, that it would be the sustenance that we need for our daily lives. Lord, we pray that you'd make it relevant to us and that we would go away rejoicing because we've met with you this morning through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, back to Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening the treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Boris Johnson has the title of Prime Minister. That title tells us something of what he does. I play in a golf society, and in that society there are two David Clarks. I know it's surprising, there's only really one of me, but to distinguish between us, I'm referred to as Dr. David. And the title refers to something that, you know, my line of work, something that I did. The name Christ means Messiah or Anointed One. And originally it was a title, the Christ or the Messiah. And nowadays the word is attached to the word Jesus, so we get Jesus Christ. But Christ is not Jesus' surname. He is not Mr. Christ. During his lifetime, Jesus was generally known as Jesus of Nazareth, because there were a lot of Jesuses, it wasn't an uncommon name. So to distinguish him from other Jesuses, he was Jesus of Nazareth. But after his crucifixion and resurrection, after fulfilling all the messianic prophecies about him, his disciples gave him the title Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus the Christ. The Jewish people looked forward to a day when God would send his king, his anointed one, to be the King of Kings, to rule the world. The New Testament scholar N.T. Wright translates Jesus Christ as King Jesus. King Jesus, I like that. The title Christ describes and honors Jesus as the one sent by God to be King of Kings. So today we're going to look at two very different kings. King Herod, who called himself King of the Jews, and King Jesus, who really was the King of the Jews. A bad king and a good king. So Matthew's account starts with the phrase, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And that expression, now after Jesus was born, is a little ambiguous, because we're left in a little doubt. Well, how long after Jesus was born? We're not told. But it must have been sometime after Jesus was born, because we know that later in the story, King Herod orders the massacre of all the children who were born 2 years and age or under in the area around Bethlehem. So Jesus is not just born, he's a little bit older. We don't know quite how old he is when the wise men come seeking to find him. And naturally, because they're looking for a king, they go to the royal palace in Jerusalem, because that's where they'd expect a king to be. And so they arrive in Jerusalem and ask, where is he who was born King of the Jews? And Herod gets to hear, and he is both troubled and ignorant. King Herod did not know about the most important event, the most important birth that had ever happened. He is, as someone said, like the King of England, who wrote in his diary on the 4th of July 1776, the day of the American Declaration of Independence, that nothing important happened that day. Little did he know. The wise men have come to worship him, and that should be our ultimate purpose in life, to worship him. And the wise men give us a good example of spiritual diligence. There was a cost involved for them. They had to travel many weary miles. They were fatigued in their journey. They probably encountered dangers along the way, and they were separated from home comforts. But none of these things stopped them. They'd set their hearts on worshipping the King of Kings, and they weren't going to be stopped. The chief priests and the scribes, they come and they give the information where he was going to be born. They have the information, but they don't use it. And it's accompanied with the wrong response. They're only 5 miles away from Bethlehem in Jerusalem, and yet they refuse to go and see him. There is a striking contrast here. Gentile wise men seek to adore him as the King of the Jews. Herod, who gave himself the title King of the Jews, attempts to murder him. One commentator says that Matthew's aim is to show the reception given by the world to the newborn messianic king. Homage from afar, hostility at home. He came to his own people, and they received him not. A foreshadowing of what was to come, reception by the Gentiles, rejection by the Jews. So what was Herod like? What do we know about him? Well, we know he ruled Palestine from about, I think it was 37 BC to 4 BC, that he was not completely Jewish, although he called himself King of the Jews. He was, in fact, descended from the Edomites of the Old Testament, and his mother was a Nabataean Arab, and according to Orthodox Jewish law, that meant that he wasn't a Jew at all. He was wealthy. He was politically gifted, and he was clever because he kept in favor with successive Roman emperors. And he is known in history as Herod the Great because of his extensive building projects, especially the Jewish temple. And he also built pagan temples. But he was hated by the Jewish nationalists because he was a puppet of the Romans. He was hated by the Pharisees because he was so irreligious. And he was hated by the common man because of the oppressive taxes that he inflicted on them. And he was cruel. He was mentally unstable. And like many other tyrants, such as Hitler and Saddam Hussein, he was extremely suspicious and paranoid of everyone. And that only grew worse as he got older, so that he ended up murdering his favorite wife, others in her family. He executed at least two of his sons for treason, possibly more. And he tried to kill Jesus by ordering the deaths of all the male children under 2 years of age in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. Before his death, Herod ordered that a large group of important leaders be gathered in Jericho. On the day of Herod's death, they were to be executed, and this was to ensure that there would be weeping and wailing when Herod died rather than rejoicing. Fortunately, Herod's wishes were ignored. So, in the vocabulary of Donald Trump, he was a bad man, a very bad man. Herod was not really a Jew. He had no right to be called the King of Jews, in contrast to Jesus, who was humanly descended from King David. So what a contrast we find in Jesus. He's not living in a palace, but in a house in Bethlehem. He's vulnerable, he's harmless, a baby, and yet a king. And at this stage in his life, well, Jesus hasn't really done very much, so there's not a lot to compare him with Herod. So instead, let's look at the response from the wise men when they greet Jesus. They fall down to the ground and worship him. Falling to the ground is the sort of thing that you do when you acknowledge that you're in the presence of someone who is higher than you. And this is a baby. And they fall down and worship him because he was their king. And what did it mean for the wise men to finally find Jesus? It says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Unfortunately, both the New English translation renders it, they shouted joyfully, and the NIV, they were overjoyed, doesn't really convey what the Greek is saying. Matthew could have simply said they rejoiced, but he didn't. He piles up word upon word that literally means they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. One commentator says it's almost as if they could not experience a greater degree of joy. In summary, what do we learn from this story? We learn that Jesus is King, King Jesus, the Messiah. We learn that it's right that he should be worshipped, and that should be our aim as well. We learn that God, who wields the universe, makes sure his son is worshipped. And it's God's ultimate purpose that his son is worshipped. Every knee will bow down before him. we learn there is exceeding great joy that becomes ours when we do worship him as king. There is a certain irony that the Gentile wise men call him King of the Jews at the beginning of his life, but the Jews don't acknowledge him as king. And at his crucifixion, the Jews shout, "We have no king but Caesar." Again, it is a Gentile Roman governor, Pilate, who has his title, King of the Jews, written on the cross. By God's grace, we can call him King Jesus today. I came across a written prayer that I would like to read and pray over us. So, let's pray. King Jesus, come and reign over my life. Reign over my heart and my emotions. Reign over my mind, my thinking and my beliefs. Reign over my will and all my decisions. Reign over my family and all of my relationships. Reign over my work and my service for you. Reign over my money, my possessions, and my time. King Jesus, come and reign over me. Amen.